1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. We pick up where we left off this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, 10. Tonight we're going to talk about God's revelation. I realized we ended with verse 10, but we only actually went about the first line of verse 10. So we're going to go back at the beginning there, verse 10, and read through the remainder of the chapter. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? You do know this is the Word of God. And I just want to remind you today, this is God's Word to you. If you want to hear from God tonight, this is how we're going to do it. Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We want to make it such a part of our life that it lights our path. Make it such a part of our daily life so that we don't go one day without hearing from you through your word. And Father, we pray for your guidance tonight. Guidance of your Spirit that will guide us to all truth. Give us understanding. Help us, Lord, that through this text, we may know you better, more personally, and stronger than ever before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The message, of course, tonight, the title is God's Revelation. And this morning we talked about God revealing the things which God had prepared, or verse 9 as it says, the last line there, the things which God had prepared for those who love Him. And I guess, how are we going to find out those things? How are we going to know those things? And the only way that that's going to happen is the revelation of the Spirit of God. Now tonight, I want you to understand, I feel inadequate. I'll just be more so than normal. Because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we get over our head really, really quickly. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Because that's how God's revelation comes. If you want to understand the Scripture, it's only going to be by the Holy Spirit teaching you the Scripture. If you want to know God's will for your life, it's going to be the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So the first question is, what is the Spirit? When we use that term, the Holy Spirit, well, the word Spirit, the Greek is, of course, pneuma, which means breath or movement of air. But as it applies to us and as it applies in this text, it's the spirit of someone is the inner self. And I want you to understand, when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we're not speaking of an it. We're speaking of a He, right? And I hesitate to call him a person because he's not a person. He's God. But he is, as adequately as I can speak, the Holy Spirit is the personal, the relational part of God to the New Testament believer. If you want to know what God thinks, it's going to be through the Holy Spirit. If you want to know how God feels about something, if you want to know the heart of God, it's going to be through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Spirit, if we talk about the Spirit of someone, we're talking about that's the deepest part of who someone is. And it's even mentioned there in verse 10 that the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things. Now, when it says searches, it means to examine, right? But that word deep is the real interesting part. That word deep, it means things below the surface. Now, what this is telling us is that God can be revealed more than just what's on the surface. For example, all right? You can know and you can acknowledge there is a God, right? But just because you know and acknowledge does not mean you have a relationship with that God. Two different things. And so that's the idea here. It's one thing to know or acknowledge that God exists, but the idea about the Holy Spirit is that God is being revealed to us, that we may know Him on a deeper level. Why is it so important in our relationship with God? Verses 11 and 12, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." You know me. But do you know my heart? You think you know my heart. But you know, I'm probably have some things that I haven't shared with you. I mean things that are secrets, if you will. That before I would share, I wouldn't share with just anyone. Because you get bit that way. I always laugh. You know, there are some people who get on Facebook and they will share everything. Sometimes I'm reading and I think, oh, I wouldn't have said that. But there's a part of God. That's this concept that God is sharing Himself in a deeper manner than you might think. The only way that you're going to know somebody is if that someone bears his soul to you. Right? You understand that's the idea of the Holy Spirit of God? He reveals things about God that you didn't know. He reveals things about God that the world can't understand. You know, and is not going to understand because God is not going to share His most personal feelings, desires, His love with a world that does not appreciate that. You see, and verse 12, this is the encouraging part. Verse 12 says, "We have received," now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now when you're saved, you know that you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Now, that's not just a saying. That's not just something to be acknowledged. That is a statement of fact. If you are a child of God, the day you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit moved in. Now, the reason the Holy Spirit has moved in is that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Those things that He's prepared for us, for those who love Him, that were prepared before the foundation of the world. Those things like salvation, the plan of salvation. Those things like mercy and grace and peace and joy and kindness and goodness. That we know all those things. And then in verse 13, it says, "These things we also speak not in words which man teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing the spiritual things to spiritual things. See, understand, so many look at the Holy Spirit as, you know, I got excited during a service and the Spirit was moving. It's possible. But listen, it's deeper than that. When you know that you've been in a service, and you don't even have to be in church to know that you have experienced the depths of God. It's not just a feeling, it is a literal experience. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to the readers at the Church of Corinth. You know, I think today's church has substituted to a large extent. We try to, or churches try to replace with music and excitement and good bands. It's deeper. It's deeper than that. As a matter of fact, one of the most satisfying and joyful experiences for me as a pastor is when I'm sitting under the tutelage, the teaching, the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And God speaks through His Word. And it's just as real as if God's voice were literally heard. Have you ever been there? You see, that's part of what the Holy Spirit does. As He's our teacher. The Holy Spirit, again, there in verse 13, it says it doesn't teach in man's wisdom, but teaches comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Have you ever studied the Bible? And you hit that point where you back up in amazement and say, I didn't know that. Listen, if you're not getting that, you're missing. That is the joy of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because I promise you this, you would not have figured it out on your own. I love learning new stuff. Don't y'all? I love reading a passage of Scripture that I've read all my life. And lo and behold, the Lord just turns the light on. And I see things about that Scripture that I've never known before. Isn't that the awesome part? Isn't that awesome? It's hard to describe. And listen, if you've not experienced that, you're missing. I don't know. And what about those times when you just don't get it? Have you ever studied and studied and studied and you just don't get it? What do? Close your Bible, leave, and don't worry about it anymore. I'm not supposed to understand those things, right? No, that's wrong. That's wrong. You go ask the preacher. Well, you can do that, and I welcome your question. But I'm going to give you some insight. When you get to that point where you're stumped, stop and pray. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, teach me what this means. And you would be absolutely amazed at how often you finish that prayer and you open your eyes and you say, how did I miss that? It's obvious. What was I thinking? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament believer. That's the guidance that I'm talking about. Where it says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's teaching spiritual things to spiritual people. I think the sad part today is that most people never really get in that deep. We settle for that surface excitement, that little move, and that message that kind of made me feel good or made me shed a tear. It's so much deeper than that. It's a relationship. He is a relationship with God. He's your avenue to a relationship with God. You see, I said I won't share my deepest, most personal things with just anybody. But you know, there are some I will share. The very deepest, most recessed parts of my heart. That's kind of the idea here. That God's sharing, and I'm not talking about ugly secrets. I'm talking about just that person that I can trust to share my heart with. That person that I know is going to be supportive. You know who that person is, right? It's over there. That's kind of the concept, that the picture that Paul is painting here with the Holy Spirit. And if you'll read verse 14, I want you to see how blessed you are to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You see, and have that understanding that I'm talking about. But the natural man there does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. The natural man does not receive it. Why? Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, the biggest reason that he can't understand is because he's spiritually dead. I never cease to be amazed. The things that I take for granted that I would say, well, that's just logical, the world does not think logically like I think. The things that it's obvious to me that that's wrong. It's not obvious to the world that it's wrong. Yeah, I mean, the way the world thinks, and this is how they think, why shouldn't there be same-sex marriages? If that's what they want, let them do it. Why shouldn't there be, have people who want to identify as whatever, they can do that and use whatever restroom they want to. Why shouldn't they, if that's what they want to do? And I'm backing up. Really? Why shouldn't a lady be able to choose abortion if that's what she wants to do? I'm saying, really? But the world looks at it, and oftentimes what the trap that Christians get caught into is we look and we think it's obvious, that's obviously wrong, so I'm going to attack those people. It doesn't work. Attacking will never win anyone. You have to understand why they think the way they do. And the reason they think the way they do is there, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. How can they live like that? Because they're spiritually dead. They're unable to understand. Well, actually, there's two reasons. Romans chapter 1, God gives them over to a reprobate mind once they cross over, right? To get to that point. But you understand, they can't think straight because they do not have that guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you say, Brother Doug, who are you to judge? I mean, after all, who are you to... It's not me. I don't want to judge anything. I don't want to declare anything as being right or wrong. I don't have that right. Only God has that right. But look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, but he who is spiritual, what? Judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Brother John Henry and I were talking about this at the beginning of church. He heard a message this morning talking about you're not supposed to judge, you know. And people don't understand what that literally means. As a matter of fact, you know, the world is quick to tell you, who are you to judge? The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. You have to understand what the word means. This word, judge, does not mean to back up and declare punishment on people who are wrong. This word, judge, it's a mark of discernment. It's a mark of maturity in the Christian. And I think that's probably one of our great dangers today is the inability that many Christians have to look beneath the surface and see things as they really and truly are. Um, We live in an age. This is negative, and I'm sorry, but I've got to say, we live in an age where people cannot be trusted. Okay? You cannot trust people at what they say and what they present themselves to be. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's churches, whether it's, you just can't accept it for what it is on the surface. Matter of fact, Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves." Today, if you put church on a building or fellowship on a building or whatever on a building, people say, "Oh, well, it must be good." No. You see, when it says, "But he who is spiritual judges all things," it means examine so that you can discern, is it really what it appears to be? That's the mark of Christianity. That's the mark of being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, is being able to say, "No, no." I mean, and it even happens with people who say they're saved, but they're not. "Yes, I'm saved, but come on, we'll go and do things we have no business doing." It doesn't match. As a matter of fact, Matthew 12:33 says, "Either make the tree good and the fruit will be good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." What's it saying? Judge the tree. You will not get apples from a pecan tree. Judge, discern is the point. I think that's what's missing in Christianity today. You say, "Well, Brother Doug, I just don't feel qualified." Listen, are you saved? If you're saved, you have the promise of God's Word that you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you what happens. When you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit and you're among things that are wrong, you're stirred on the inside. Have you ever been somewhere and just felt like, "I don't need to be here"? That's the Holy Spirit saying you don't belong. Have you ever been somewhere and you see what's going on, you say, "That's just wrong. I don't want to be a part of that"? That's the Spirit. You see, I think we get nervous today, and we're afraid. Well, we don't want to use that term Holy Spirit too much. We don't want to be one of those holy rollers. No, listen, you have to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's the idea there. And here's what you have to know before you back up and say, "Well, I can't really judge, or I can't say that something's wrong." Look at verse 16. "For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" You cannot tell God what he should and should not do, what he should declare wrong, what he should not declare wrong. But here's what you need to know about God. If you are a child of God, that last line in verse 16, "But we have the mind of Christ." That doesn't mean you'll be all right about every single thing. But I will tell you this, the bottom line is, when you're not right, God stirs you through His Holy Spirit. You, as a child of God, are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. If you're not indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. I think one of the great things that we need to be aware of today is that, do we listen? Do we listen? Here's what I want to give you. Sometimes I've known beyond a shadow of a doubt that I should do something, and I decided not to do it. You know, and I'm talking, I needed to talk to someone, I needed to go see someone, I needed to do something like that. I just had a burden, and I didn't do it. Have you ever got to the end of a day like that, and God just grabbed you by the heart and said, "What were you supposed to do?" And then you figure out, because of what occurred after that, why you were supposed to be there. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Learn to listen. tonight, you may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, first of all, you're not indwelled by the Holy Spirit yet. But I will tell you what the Spirit will do with you. He will convict you of your sin here tonight. And He will point out to you that you need to repent of that sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Make Him your Savior. You see, the Holy Spirit is just as strong and just as powerful as He's ever been. The problem is, we've quit listening. God still calls to preach through His Holy Spirit. Men quit listening. God still calls to teach. God still calls, leads people to join churches. God still moves in the lives of people. We just don't want to listen anymore. Therein is the problem in the modern church. Listen, what I want us to understand today is the Holy Spirit is just as powerful, just as strong, just as plain, and will provide as much guidance today as He did 50 years ago. We just have to learn to listen. Tonight we're going to have a verse of invitation. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. Listen to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. He's convicting you for a reason. He's guiding you for a reason. He's teaching you for a reason. Now, just listen and do what the Spirit of God says do. Respond to God's invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know. We know that we need a personal, stronger relationship with You, and that comes through Your Holy Spirit. So tonight, Lord, I pray that You will just move among us, that You will convict of sin, that You will draw all men to You, that we will see, Lord, a renewed commitment to You. And that, Lord, starting tonight, we'll be closer to You than ever before. We thank You for this privilege to examine Your Word, and may we never take for granted Your Spirit. May we not quench it. May we not grieve Your Spirit. But Lord, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.